The opinions expressed by the interviewees on the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show and those providing comments are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show or any employee thereof. Upfront and the Prophetic radio show is not responsible for the accuracy of any of the information supplied by the interviewees.
Welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. Your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, invite you to tune in to Upfront in the Prophetic every week, where it's natural living in the supernatural, and where the true prophetic is off the chain and right on. Alan and Francine are anointed prophetic ministers of the gospel who are raising up a supernatural generation for an end-time army of believers to establish and advance the kingdom of God with love, signs and wonders, miracles and prophetic abilities, which are needed for the last day harvest. Be prepared to call in with your questions and be ready to chat with their special guests from around the world. Their hunger and thirst for Jesus is radically infectious. Please join us now live with Alan and Francine on this edition of Upfront in the Prophetic. Catch the fire.
Incredible.
Everyone, thank you for joining us on Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. We are here with my husband, my wonderful husband, Alan, Susan East, and John Mark Poole. Hey, we are so excited because we're going to talk about John Mark Poole's life. He written a book, my gosh, about a couple years ago, right, on the path of the prophet. It's an awesome book, but it was nice to have it in hand here. And you know what, John? My gosh, you've had a journey in your life as a prophet, and you're here, and we're not in Maryland today, but we're in Pennsylvania, and because you travel so much, you kind of forget where you are, don't you, sometimes?
It happens that way.
Well, tell us, how did you come, first off, to know the Lord as your Savior? Were you born in a Christian home? How did that work for you?
Yeah, I knew a lot about the Lord raised in a Christian home, you know, and it was... I guess sort of, I like to say the Lord encountered me to pull him close to me at 7, as far as the relationship, and then the journey begins there. Mm-hmm. So it's like any relationship, you know, you seek and you go deeper, and then there's an allurement. So it was a real interesting adventure.
Wow. Now, yeah. And I heard, too, that you had a death experience. I want to hear about that. And I know the audience will, too.
Well, you know, dying happens, and it's never on schedule. Just, there it is. And so I had a blood clot to my lung, and it wasn't on schedule for my day. And I was in a journey where I was doing a lot of business, and I was working out in the marketplace, helping build a medical company. And I can remember the day real clear, and the Lord wanted to get my attention about my direction. And it's not against anybody who has a calling in any area, but I knew my area was was to be, you know, prophetic voice to the nations. And I tried to make a deal that this would be a way that I could make a lot of money, which I enjoyed doing. And so he sort of rearranged my spiritual furniture. And so I dropped over with a blood clot to my lung that day. Mm. And rushed me to the emergency room. And next thing you know, I realized that this seemed like the big one. Because I wasn't getting better. The oxygen sat level was real low. And then I just went out. Next thing you know, I'm gone. And everybody's, you know, I just sat up in the room and realized that I felt better than I've ever felt. But nobody's paying attention. So
you were actually dead.
Oh, I was dead. Yeah, dirt dead, graveyard dead. I was sitting up on the bed. My body was there dead, but I felt wonderful. And so nobody would respond to me, so I just said, hey, I don't know what's going on, but don't worry about me. I feel better than I've ever felt. So I started going up, and then ultimately, you know, it's in the book, but I went through a lot of stuff and through the mountains, and then I ended up in heaven. So when I stepped into the door that was open, I rubbed it and realized, you know, it's all solid pearl.
Mm.
So I looked down at the floor and I said, it looks like 18 inches of gold to me. So it's a, you know, like you can see through it. And then I saw a young man, looked like about 30, 25 or 30. And he turned and I looked at him. I said, Stanley. He said, that's right. John Mark, you're the brother. I'm the brother you've never met.
Wow.
And he died at 7 before I was born, so I'd never really seen a picture of him, but I knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a talk, and it was a very interesting talk, but basically the Lord was using him as an unmistakable witness to tell me that, you know, if I call somebody in the medical field, that's my business, but I know the calling that I have for you. And so Stanley goes, did God not call you and audibly name you while our mother was carrying you? I said, wow, you know stuff. He goes, oh, yeah. God really knows stuff. And he said, did he not say you would be a voice to the nations? I said, yeah, he did. And he goes, and? I went, oh, wow. I had the feeling to make up like I had worked this deal out for medical. And he goes, and I went, yeah, I'm in heaven. It's not going to work. I said, I'm not really doing that now. He goes, yeah, but you will.
Wow.
I'm sure you will. I said, you know, I really feel an urgency too. That's what I'll be doing. He said, yeah. And he said, you have to go back. But when you do, remember that the Lord has told me to tell you to incorporate his body in the power of agreement and prayer, because it breaks the back of the enemy. And if you don't, they will use it. And he said also that you need to hear his voice and then let the people know what he's saying. So you're going to go do that. And he said, you're going to make the father and our mother very proud. I mean, who could have God chosen to put right in front of me? So yeah, it was an awesome trip. Yeah. You know, I didn't want to leave, I will say that. I highly recommend it for anybody that's listening. I can go on and we can just take the whole show over that. But, you know, it was an experience that when I tell you right now, it's like I was there yesterday. It's like it never fades. It's never like a dream. Sometimes dreams, you know, get fuzzy, or visions, you could lose a portion of it maybe. But when you been somewhere and it's been an impact in your life spiritually more than flesh, because there wasn't a lot of flesh there.
Sure.
I left him on the bed, operating table. It was really an experience that impacted me. So
after this experience, you wake up and now you have to walk the walk.
Well, it's interesting because I knew coming back into my body was a downer because I could feel it. Oh, no. And I looked over and I woke up and I just picked up my hand from my dad and I just dropped it. And he knew. He said, it's just a tent, isn't it? I said, he said, I told you I was going to beat you to heaven too, son. Because I told him, bye, I'm going to heaven. He said, you're not going before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I went. But he said, he was praying. And I knew they were praying all around my bed. And then I told Mother I had met Stanley. He goes, he was in heaven. I said,
wow.
Yeah, he's there and he looks 25. That'll grab a hold of him. He was 7 when he died, but he's about 25.
You know, well, I always had a question about that too. You know, when children die and they're that young, I mean, that was just proof right there that he aged, right?
All I can tell you is he was 7 when he died and he was 25 to 30 looking when I was with him.
Wow.
So I knew that whatever God did, I happen to tend to believe what you said is true. And so God seemed to know how to raise him up. He did good. He looked great. But I can tell you back here, my body, you know, the hardest part to explain to anybody about heaven is not the dazzling and the gorgeous opulence, and it is that. But it is the lack of the gravity presence of sin that you live under and don't know how much that's there until you're back. Then you re-enter not only Earth's gravity of the natural law, you enter a sin gravitational presence because a portion of the enemy is residing on the same planet we're on. So I experienced that. And then, like you said, I wasn't sure totally of the direction at that moment, and so I wake up in ICU again, and I see this guy walking into the hospital room, just opened the door, and I thought he was a doctor, and he's in a suit, and he just kind of touched my toe, and he said, "Was quite a trip, wasn't it?" And I said, I'm thinking, do I know this guy? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, I figured he must have talked to parents or somebody, or a minister, I don't know. He said, "The Lord has a way of a summons, doesn't he?" And I said, "Oh, he certainly does." He said, "Well, let me tell you something I feel to tell you." He said, "You know, don't forget to incorporate the power of agreement in prayer." And he said, "You know, you are a voice to the nation, and the enemy wanted to take you out." And he said, "Actually, what happened was a witch did curse you and thinks they won."
Mm.
And he said, "What happened was God just uses bad that the enemy plans and turns it to the good. But all he needed was a talk with you." And he said, "Be a understanding that you will accomplish this, but don't be frustrated because it's not going to happen overnight. Because what you've been doing doesn't get undone. But be of good cheer, for you have overcome the enemy. He's already been overcome. And be of good cheer and understand that the Lord has directed you. So therefore, this wasn't something to be frustrated. Like, you will finish it, but you're going to go through some real turbulence before this shifting into the completion of what he told you. So don't be all upset. The shaking is from God."
Mm.
"But what remains will be what he wants."
Wow.
No.
So is this how
he
the book...
walked out of the room. Never saw the guy before, never saw him after.
So I had a realization that the Lord sent a positive, I believe, an angelic being.
Sure.
Or a messenger from heaven to underscore, because he said everything that only I and God had talked about through my brother. And I said, "Lord," I laid there. I was actually reading the word when he walked up. I said, "I don't know how much turbulence I will be able to go through, but I know I have you no matter what."
Mm-hmm.
And I commit to what he just said again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got pretty rough for a while, you know. Sort of like walking into your house and everything's gone, that sort of thing, you know.
Right.
And feel abandoned. Just,
sure.
A lot of stuff happens, but it doesn't mean it's the end of you. It's either to break off things that won't go with God's plan in your life, or to shift you further by the desperation that the shaking brings into the destiny that he has for you.
Oh, that's good.
So those shakings are really blessings from God if you'll embrace that. And I believe, as we're speaking of that, the nation is going through that today.
So. Well, look at the weather. And, I mean, turmoil everywhere.
I was saying yesterday in a meeting with pastors, I said, if we took a volume, not even spiritual, just got CNN News and the Weather Channel and different ones, and did a chronicle on the last 10 years of semi to cataclysmic events, we wouldn't have enough time to read that page after page of the last 10 years in a volume.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much increase of the shaking our nation is experiencing, from every form of natural disaster to terrorist disaster to, you know, every form of outward shaking that's affecting all humanity, and all humanity is growing. So this is a good time.
It is a good time.
It is really a good time. Because, oh boy, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, all right. Someone's listening. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to hear anything more, but it gets better. Bless God. Amen. What were you going to say, John?
I just say, Alan, you know, I haven't heard from you, but nonetheless, I feel like when somebody understands that it's a completed work that we are allowed to process through in the kingdom increase and the multiplication, it helps you. So you're not frivolous or operating out of any form of fear. The enemy has been defeated.
Yes.
And when when we have one drop of that powerful blood of Jesus, I mean, my God, all hell is canceled. So I don't operate ever in 1 ounce or even a thought of fear anymore, because that security comes in, and you know when he said it's finished, it is completed. The rest of it is us adjusting to the desire of the Father to get us into his kingdom multiplication plan, however that would be, and whatever assignment that is. And there's no subculture family of God. Yeah. Everyone matters to him.
And that's so important that we know that you're not a mistake. Everybody has a destiny.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And there's, there, like you were saying, you go through a shaking, but it's always to bring you out mm-hmm. and over for what God ultimately has for you. At the moment, you might not understand that or realize that. But, and then that's why it's so important to have the prophetic voice in the church to come along and encourage and comfort and edify and speak mm-hmm. direction and speak life. That,
yeah.
That's very important for the body of Christ.
And that's why I like your book, too, The Path of a Prophet. Because, you know, a lot of people love, you know, oh, I got to go and check out the prophet, you know, and what he has to say and everything. But the road and the journey of a prophet is a hard road. persecution, things being stripped from your life.
People not understanding.
Right, not understanding who you are.
Rejection becomes your friend, really.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of people can't handle that. They, you know, a lot of people can't embrace all the persecution that's going to come with the call, but that's why prophets are generally very strong people, because they have to deliver a word without
compromise.
Yeah, without compromising, without being tainted in any way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pure. Mm-hmm.
And that is true. And the other part is that I've noticed it's always progressive in any gift or any office or any calling. So don't be discouraged if you don't see everything in fullness that you think, or that people get a word or it didn't happen for you. It is a proactive thing. It's like walking in faith over a miracle. And you know, you just continue to decree your word that you got, and you continue to live it out, and don't let the enemy rob that from you because you didn't see it in 24 hours. And so I encourage people. I've got words that's never come to pass, but I don't doubt them. And I pull those up and journal those things and reread them. And you, just like Hezekiah, you lay those things down and you pray that letter out to God. And so you get, there's a lot of proactive incorporation that we need to get instructed to believers, that you don't sit in your easy chair of spiritual journey and just do the push button for all the Christian Easy TV channels and expect your word to just drop on you in your lap and overtake you, because it won't.
That's good, because a lot of times God does his part and we have to do our part.
Right.
It's very much so in the prophetic, because the reason being is he wants participation from those that carry the keys to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't get it, then he's going, hey, look, Daddy has already done all this. I'm really wanting you engaged. That's the whole idea here, that we can do this together. I can do it all. I could have populated heaven yesterday. I wanted your participation because I want your hunger to be doing that in partnership with me. So actually, when I begin to get this ideal that God poured into me through a lot of other prophetic voices and different ones that he's given me the privilege to be around, I begin to realize that it's not, like you said, in the book it said, it's not getting there. The arrival's what I used to live for. But mm-hmm. when I got to heaven, I realized, there are a lot of things I need to finish before I go have my final exam in front of Daddy. Because mm-hmm. he's going to hold me accountable. What did you do with what I gave you?
Right.
So when we start thinking about it, honestly, he gave us everything that we already have to accomplish it. And he wants it multiplied. So we are the ones with his authority. We're not second-rate citizens. We are heirs to the throne. We're not only friends, but we're his children. And that matters with somebody wanting that kind of relationship. As you do see this, then you become what I call prophetic engagers. You actually activate that word in you, and your desperation on that, I've seen it many times in my life, and I know in yours, that you can actually look back, and if you journal at all, you can say, you know, the desperation, like the woman with the issue of blood, that desperation places a demand note on your destiny.
That's good.
Yeah. That's awesome. You know, we were talking earlier today about intimacy, and you brought up intimacy. And you want to touch a little bit about that for the listeners? We have to spend time with Daddy to hear his voice. A lot of people want to hear the voice of God, and they're like, I can't hear. I said, are you listening? Are you taking the time to get to know somebody intimately?
If the prophetic voices that really count at all. And there are levels, because it's just like military. I mean, you know, if they were all generals, the battle had been over, we wouldn't need military. So God has that, and I'm not trying to say it's my goal, but I'm just saying I have people I listen to also, and I know they do things that I need to listen and watch and understand to grow in the giftings and the calling of God. And one part was all of them said, it's paramount that a prophetic voice hears clearly, and not another voice will you hear, because the enemy is very subtle and would like to alter that. Because if a general could give a different direction and it mattered on the whole battle on this whole entire front, winning or losing over that order, that's important. And God said, I'm not going to let anything surprise attack you. I'm not going to let anything hit my body that I don't go through my channel or my servants, the prophets. And so I learned that if I don't have my head on his chest, and I think I'm not real clear on it, the better thing to actually do is pray and meditate and wait till you get it clearly before you hit send, or you put it on a microphone for surely, or before you impart that half-baked thing into somebody that's trying to draw stuff out of you. So the best thing is, don't add to or take away. And I always tell them, if we're not hearing clearly, and if the channel isn't absolutely bearing witness with our spirit, that it's the clear, concise directions of God, it costs you nothing to hang on to it, to be sure, because it'll affect the life.
Right.
So the prophetic voices of God, they do things like, you know, you're just not your own, because you have to, at a moment's notice, go hide in a cave while everybody else is watching the Super Bowl. Or you have to, I mean, it's not like you can't have fun, but mostly, if the Father says something, tells you the direction, you better do it, because it may matter for a nation, it may matter for a few states, it may matter for the globe, it may matter for your spouse or your family. So the whole picture to me is that his channels, the prophetic voices today, are hearing clearly, then we should have somebody warn us that a certain terrorist is attacking in the nations, instead of our presidents going to some soothsayer. Nowadays, I believe clearly you're going to see office of prophets being placed in the Capitol, to where they can actually speak the clear voices of God into those branches of, you know, the judicial, executive, and legislative branches, so that they can make proper decisions based on why our country was founded, and that's following God.
Amen.
That's what you're about to see this take place in 2012. I'm telling you that now.
Even one of our friends is already speaking into one of the senators. We can't say who that is, but I mean, that's taking place, but that comes with a sharpness, a keenness, hearing the Spirit of God, spending that time, that quality time. And I like what you said, because a prophet to a prophet, Father Prophet, you would know who he is, but he told me one time, I said, what would you tell to a young upcoming prophet? He says, speak exactly the way the Lord gave it to you. Don't add to it or take it away. He goes, a lot of people get in trouble because they add to a word or they try to interpret when God didn't give them the interpretation. I thought that was such wisdom that he imparted into us.
Yeah, he told me, he said, son, I'm pretty smart, and if you don't mind, I would appreciate you not trying to think for me. All you got to do is say what I told you. I know it sometimes gets difficult because, you know, humans, we get the flair and, you know, we get excited and we just, you know, before you know it, you're embellishing a little bit here and there and just sort of you're raised in religion, and that's just, you know, evangelistically speaking, you know, instead of 500, you've got 1,500 people touched. So don't do that in the prophetic, because it matters. But the intimacy part, revisiting that, clearly where I think a lot of people have missed it in this move today. If there's any one thing I would try to encourage everybody on, it's that Dad is given his creation, whom he made us, every tool necessary to be a surgeon or to be a plumber or to be whatever is necessary wherever he puts us. And every tool in that box and every gift from God is for a purpose. But that's not where prophetic people gain their identity. So if the gift of prophecy becomes my accuracy on my identity, I'm failing to know the motivation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon we're lured by the enemy's subtle tactics. Usually, we don't like to admit it, but it's the base of pride to show off the gifts that I got when they're really God's. and they're for a purpose, which is to further whose? His kingdom. And he gives us the charge to do that. So when we get the motivation purified, he purifies us, and he starts shaking a lot of times to purify the sons of Levi. And as he does that, then the people will begin to trust, because our intimacy gets pulled back into where it should be, which is to the Father's heart first. Mm-hmm. And I minister unto him. And when I say, Abba, Father, hallowed be your name. I go through the names a lot, just like Jehovah Rohi today. I just need that shepherd from you. Or Jehovah Eloheinu. There is not anybody higher than you. And I just begin to honor him and give him glory without any sort of laundry list or any kind of need. It's just that you are who you are. And when you begin to give him glory and honor, and you move into that realm, it sets up a presence of atmosphere. And what I was telling people recently is there's not any woman. Now, men, we have a little harder time. You know, we go to the drive-thru and we cook dinner for the wife, right? But no, you know, if you actually did an intimate setting, and a lot of guys are learning, but my wife said you could bring a hamburger home, but if you set the table and put the china out and turn the lights down and turn the football game off and lit the candles and set the tone and showed me that you're doing all this for me, that atmosphere is far, it's incomparable to whatever's on that plate. And the dad, you know, or the father or the husband or whoever would say, and if you're unmarried, listen, it's Jesus, it's okay. It doesn't matter. If, you know, you're being romanced by the Lord to that intimate level of what he made us for, and that's to walk with him and to talk with him and to spend time with him. He wants more of you than most will ever know. And we weren't raised that way a lot in Vacation Bible School. We were told to serve Jesus, get him, and go do something for God. But we weren't told the intimacy of the Father. So there are generations of sons and daughters out there who don't have the clear-cut image of an intimate Father like we're describing. And I'm telling you, it's coming. So the prophetic voices are also speaking into the schools that have come up and training centers and restoration centers, to where we're going to bring up sons and daughters of God to truly understand it begins in intimacy first, and then everything from that works out, because a relationship is everything with God. My wife said I didn't want a casual affair for 2 or 3 weeks when we said I do. She said, I want that commitment, and I want it forever, and I want you to want it more than ever, everything. Well, how much more does Daddy do that? And so don't get busy and show off your gifts. Get intimate and show your heart is sold to the heart of the Father. And then when he speaks clearly and you begin to grow in this and you go through some training, because you need training, really, to, I mean, you know, you just need training, and you're going to make mistakes, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. Like I think it was Rick Joyner said to us, that, look, mistakes will be made. The fact that if your leaders aren't around who care and don't mind getting messy, then we won't be able to turn the mistakes into the good. So, I mean, you know, what kid doesn't make a mistake? But what loving father won't guide you lovingly into the better way? And honestly, to me, it's relationship-driven. And we have gone into the religious by subtle raising of the churchology and the Christianese and all of these things. It begins to be sort of a religious trap of everything going from the outward to change to the inner. And, you know, it's never worked from the outward to the inner. The world will tell you in a minute. They will tell you quickly. This is church, me doing stuff, you know, just to be doing it. We don't need it. What we are looking for is a loving relationship with a real living Father. And when you offer that to somebody, that would turn their life around.
I want to take that on the flip side, where you take the love of the Father. And you see that in a different light than most people do, because we were all brought up in religion and we were taught to fear the Lord, and we really don't know the love of the Lord. But because of your throne room experience, the Lord has showed you his love in a different way than we have seen it. Mm-hmm. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, there is a security in love, and it removes the ability for human effort to have anything to do with it. And I was raised as, you know, a young man in the church that we worked at it. And everything was from the outside, basically, on what we did, how good we lived, and all of that, and it doesn't give any license that, you know, it's okay to just go out and do what you want and sin. It's the opposite. If the relationship's there, again, I go back to that. I'm driven to a desire to please that genuine depth of that relationship. So therefore, if there's really a relationship base, it strips fear and it strips human ability and it replaces it with a desire most people aren't familiar with in a level that all you want to do is go deeper and deeper and deeper. And as you do that, it gets very personal. And that's what he wants. And from that level, there's a security that everybody wants. I didn't have it most of my life. I don't know. In the book, I said, I don't know whether I knew about the Lord and I loved him to the level I did, so I know he's gracious. But I know one thing, and I know a lot of people could say, well, he's, you know, either way, whether you feel like you'll lose him or not, I can tell you now, with what he's drawn me into, you can't take Jesus out of my life. So therefore, I know tomorrow I've got to talk to Daddy because I do every day. So, family members who love their father and love their mother, and most of us weren't really modeled that kind of family. A few are. But he drew me into this understanding that I'm going to talk to him tomorrow, and if I did something out of that relationship that didn't build on it, it'll be known quickly. It's like when I stood there in front of my brother in heaven, I thought, who am I kidding? You can't manufacture anything of a story up here. You're in heaven, for God's sakes. Who's going to believe that? You just went, oh, no. So you're bare before him in this love, and he says, it's okay. I will not unfamily you. Your mistakes won't matter. It's the fact that you still want to come to me, and we can talk about it. And the fact that you do that tells me you love me, and you're not afraid to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you want to means you love me. Now let's talk about this step that went on. It looks like you're hurting more than me. Mm-hmm. But I'm not taking you off the family roll. I'm not taking you down to the courthouse and stripping your name. What I'm doing is, remember, I want to encourage you. Son, you didn't get up and punch the clock to go sin. That's what sinners who don't know me in the relationship do. You're not pursuing sin. Mm-hmm. So we need to get this clearly. You're actually pursuing me, but things happen. You lose your temper. You became feeling like you were totally unsanctified for a moment, but he still loves you. But you learn enough through that adventure that, I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. I'm going to talk to him. I don't know when you don't talk. And so who am I going to kid? It changes that I'm not trying to perform for him. It changes that I don't look at my pastor in hopes that he sees that I've groveled enough, I've done everything I can do at the church and polished all the toilets, I've done all I could possibly do, like the old school was, to finally become a youth leader.
Right.
And then hopefully the old stinker either passes on and goes to heaven, and then they promote another younger pastor who will promote me to associate pastor. And then eventually he builds such a big church that I could be a senior pastor, and then I'm really anointed, and that's how you get close to God. And so it was always a hierarchy, like salmon swimming up the stream to their destination. And remember, when they do fertilize or lay their eggs, they're dead. So I'm telling you, God is into life. And the whole deal is, he doesn't want you to think you're on the edge of one more time. I've never heard Daddy God tell me one more time, John Mark. And you know why? It's because I feel so close to him. It's like King David. I was talking to my friend, can I say his name or not?
Sure.
Dutch Sheets and I were talking about this in a conference we were speaking in, and he helped me on this. He said, you know, John Mark, a lot of people didn't realize it, but I was studying, I love it because he studies a lot of the Greek and Hebrew, and you get a lot of revelation from those words, because words and symbology and the language of the prophetic really counts. So the staves were there, and they put with David, you know, the ark in the city of David at that point. He said, you know, a lot of the historians and a lot of the people I've studied realize that most likely David was so intimate with a desire for God. You know, he loved the Lord. Mm-hmm. He wasn't told a man who ran after Bathsheba in the New Testament. He said he's a man after God's own heart.
Right.
That tells you how God looks at his creation. Not what religion says about what you've done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let a religious mandate take you out of your destiny and give you the wrong marching orders for your directions, because God is not like that. He will always try to take everything that's ever happened in your life and turn it around for the good. That's the loving Father we have.
Amen.
And in that process, he said, you know, you may have never heard this, but I believe David slid under that ark because they said it was up on the table. And I believe when he wrote things like, how wonderful it is to abide under the shadow of the Almighty's wings, it gave a real understanding of his heart probably looking up at those wings. And no other priest, no other person could have done that. Why? Because God knew he wasn't tempting him. He knew he was passionately pursuing his Father's heart. So he was almost like a transitional prophetic king's office. He was after his heart, so he would eat showbread and get swords out of the temple, and he did things others would have almost died for. But it showed, I'm already seeing past this law that's taking us somewhere, and I hope what he said, out of my kingdom will come from these loins the Savior of the world, and it did. So I believe all of these things prophetically pushed us to the climax of when you understand he loves you unconditionally. He wants you to fulfill your destiny. And most of the time, just by not being told that and being taught that and encouraged, it's like an allurement. When you get hooked onto this, it's not that I know God has a justice plan, and I know He is the judge, but we are in a new covenant and a new wineskin. And the people that I talk to out on the streets or in a hotel or anywhere else, they don't want preached at.
Right.
They want to know somebody really cares about their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And like the old adage is, you know, nobody cares what I know until they know I care.
Right. Mm.
And in the prophetic, we have got to get this arranged where we're not worshiping gifts, people who carry accurate gifts, mm-hmm. titles, names, and title waves and offices. We're worshiping God, and whatever He pulls out that day in that tool chest, whether it's an apostolic office to go do something for encouraging His kingdom or rallying people together to come to a training center. The last I found out in this relationship, when He was teaching me through a lot of this relational training, was it's all about us, the leaders, encouraging His people, the family, and especially those who don't even know Him. Mm-hmm. And when they get that, you really care, and the words are for encouragement, edification, and comfort, not smacking, whacking, chopping, and grinding, they will listen to your words.
Yeah.
I know I've said a lot, but that's to me the armchair of the purpose of what prophetic really ought to do in the fivefold gifts.
And you've got to have fruit, not just the gifts.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need that character development. And I was just thinking, you know, a lot of people are dating the groom, but a lot of people aren't married in a marriage covenant.
Oh, I like that one.
You know,
that's good.
And it's just so true that He wants that relationship. He's a jealous God, and He wants all of your heart, not part of your heart. And God is so loving. I mean, if you're out there and you're backslidden, He says He's married to the backslider. I mean, so just, you know, I just love God. I think if we really got a revelation of how much He loves us, we really don't know. I mean, His love is so much deeper than what our, you know, the eros love or the phileo love or the, you know, the His agape love is, you know, a lot of times we get it mixed up. We don't really understand God's love.
You know what I love, too, is that, John Mark, you know, when we were driving around today, you were talking about the meeting that you had yesterday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about church and His audacious love, His awesome love for us. And you didn't have church as usual. The Holy Ghost took over, and it was like a setting, you know, like you were like on couches or whatever. I mean, it was just so intimate. Tell us a little bit about that, because do you feel that maybe we're moving towards that?
I believe we are. I even spoke into that. I did end up doing some prophetic ministry during that meeting. But it wasn't the goal. It's just Holy Spirit said, do it, so I do what He says.
Amen.
But I just think He gives you a bonus sometimes when you obey. But my goal is an individual prophetic ministry to people just because they want a word. We raise that child up, and we need to retrain that. But the whole process, the Lord just came in and said, look, we're going to have a living room meeting, like in a good setting like you could think of, with family members in a den. And so they went as far as, when I said that, to go and get, you know, a nice chair to sit in, and everybody was comfortable. And it wasn't a huge crowd, and so everybody moved in as close as we could. And we just had like a living room armchair experience to just have a chat with Daddy. And in the way he did this, and it came out, people were so, I just see the crowds because I speak a lot, so they were visibly drinking every ounce of this from God's, like the new wine. They were just so into hungering for that message from Holy Spirit that he said, look, if the setting is so uncomfortable, if the relationship isn't strong enough, then we, like we said in the prophetic, I said, men, I had to re-inventory. My wife's been away helping in a setting of ministry now by us in our agreement. We're totally in covenant. We're in love passionately, but I really miss her. But when I miss her, he gives me an opportunity. And Daddy said, you know, when you first came to me, you would do everything on earth to make sure I was well pleased. And when you found true love through what I blessed you with, you were really a pursuer. I said, oh, yes, I was. And so I began to tell them some crazy little things I did, and everybody got a twinkle in their eye because there were a lot of couples there. And I said, you know, guys, think about it. We watch footballer fights. You know, we throw the burgers on the table. But look at it, what you would do a month before you would have popped the question. And the Lord says, you know what? You're not losing in the relationship. I'm not going to divorce you, but I'm just saying, any relationship with great value, we need the apostolic and the other voices and the gifts of God and the priest and all of us, that, like you said, we need to remember, if we're people of character, then we're not, love doesn't let friends lose the relationship. Mm-hmm. So I've lost out in relationships, and the Lord said, it wasn't all their fault. You didn't really work at it much. And love is, it's not work that I have to keep Sandy with me. It's that I want to show her I'm growing in the relationship, not losing what it took to get her attention to say I do. But Daddy, he's saying, look, don't ever, but the proactive part of that, Fran, is that it? Mm-hmm. The proactive part of that is, not a woman in that room was not grinning like you. And every one of them said, underscore, underscore, underscore. And listen, I said, God reminded me of that. And I said, first, Lord, I owe you an apology. I'm taking advantage of the strength of our relationship, knowing that how much you love me. But I don't want it to just be a good feeling. I want to encourage us to grow in that depth. And he said, that is a co-partnership.
That's good.
And I need you to co-partner with me in the kingdom to bring the culture of love to those that have no clue. And that will take some work. You don't just do that sitting in your easy chair, guys, watching the ball game, whenever the wife is giving you love language ideas like, couldn't you go out and smell the roses with me? And Daddy goes, couldn't we take a walk in the garden today? Yeah. And you're going, Dad, hey, look, and yeah, this deer hunting season's opening, or whatever you like. You know, it's tennis today. But you know, we do have a choice.
Right.
And in that choice, he's re-upping by the shaking. He's re-upping the hopes that we, the people of God, begin to speak into the motivation of the desires of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And how, if it's there, we'll want to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to hurt anybody else. And when I do things that show my relationship is very weak, how much does that speak to not only Dad, but how much does that speak to the children that I could hurt by turning them away from me today because I want to do adult things, or just go and play it out. But like you said, our character is going to grow in the gifts to where we will make, and you sound more apostolic. And so the apostolic comes out, but love is great. And then the apostle will say, I agree with your love, but I want to see the fruit on the love tree.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the last I found out, you know, we want luscious apples without worms, without, you know, grapes that, you know, just grow wild and there's just too many and they're sour. But the person that works at either one of those plants produces the best fruit. But it's all fruit.
Yeah.
See, so what you said true, Alan, is that you know, there is a real participation in our part. And I used to not teach on that much, but the Father nudged me and says, hey, look, I'll have first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was reading another one of the prophetic voices, and he said, look, you don't just take a little of Jesus.
Mm.
He was everything the Father offered for you. And if you compare that, and you preachers will like this, but if you compare that when you want to share this from a pulpit, if you'll compare that with leaving, like we just came from the Passover, lamb, you have to eat it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, if you take Jesus, you take him all or not at all.
Mm-hmm. Good.
He's not going to take, like you said. He doesn't want second place. He will be first place.
Mm-hmm.
And when we keep that in order, what we've heard of it called like love languages.
Mm-hmm.
My wife thinks everybody ought to read that every week because she's
good.
A person of love. But doesn't it tell you, you're a lady, and you're the lady here in this crowd, and you're the wife of this minister, and you guys are a team. But wouldn't you say as a woman that women do like atmosphere?
Absolutely.
And that you can't pursue them? And my wife tells me, I mean, she said, you can never tell me I love you enough.
That's absolutely true.
Why is
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Because we desire that relationship, that atmosphere. I mean, when the presence of the Lord falls upon you, when you're in that intimate time, you never want to leave that place. It's a place of comfort, of reassurance, of everything.
That was a good word you said, Fran. My wife said, I can tell when you have been intimate and you have been pursuing the Lord because I feel that security, I feel that assurance, and I feel covered by your mantle that's supposed to be spread over me and you.
That's awesome.
And I'll tell you, it always chokes me up. But I'm telling you, my wife, she is a voice too with me. We're a team. And she doesn't prophesy like thus saith the Lord and all that. But when she speaks, I've learned to listen because it carries the voice of the Father in it. And so we have to get out of our own old school learning of, you know, and it'd be better to not even say, thus saith the Lord. Just I believe God's saying this. And you got a loop out. Because
exactly.
To say, thus saith the Lord, to me is a very sacred and serious thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And you need to take the Lord's name. I think that's part of how mm-hmm. you could actually take it in vain.
Absolutely.
Everybody, see, the prophetic language is another thing that we've got to really pursue. Because you can't see this thing black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And horses, to me, represent, you know, galloping ministries. And, you know, you just got a lot of symbols and things.
That's
true. We learned that from another minister, dream interpretation,
yeah.
How so the symbolism could be something totally that we overlooked,
mm-hmm.
and yet, you know, it's so strategic when our eyes are open to it, to understand that. And I want to take this time to honor Sandy too, because she's here in spirit, though even though she's not here physically, she's here in spirit, and we want to honor her for her support and her love of the Lord. And
amen. I agree with that. You know, and there's and for those who can't see this,
it's not a picture here.
Yeah.
I did have him on there.
That's a beautiful picture. Absolutely, a gorgeous picture. And your wife is absolutely stunning.
Thank you. She is.
Absolutely.
I decided if I was talking about it, I'm going to matter. That's our day when we got married.
Amen.
So I just wanted
it's
you to
gorgeous.
See you
in love,
about.
And you're still in love.
Very much.
You know,
passionately.
Love
it.
I do.
And you
love
guys,
it.
I can tell. And it, you know, you can get it's negligible busyness with guys. We don't mean it, but you look up and I had to repent. I was just telling you, Father, forgive me. I haven't been that intimate with you this week. He says, now, what else? I said, oh, He said, did you write those little hidden notes in your wife's suitcase? Did you send her flowers this week? Did you? You would have sent 36 flowers when you were asking her before to notice you, you're it. Are you still pursuing her that much? I said, Lord, forgive me.
Pursuing.
I want to pursue. And he said, listen, forgiveness granted. He said, you have it. But you know something? If the desire and the intimacy isn't from the Holy Spirit, he pulls us.
Yeah.
I couldn't talk Alan into coming to the Lord if he was any other religion or you or if you were in staunch sin. I get a word now. It's changed my view sort of on evangelism. I get a word and I go to my knees and I said, Lord, if you don't call them, if you don't pull them to me today, it will work because your grace is sufficient, but it won't be exactly what you wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. And I may miss the one that's set up. All you got to do is say, come unto me. I'm ready for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could just spend all day on that prophetic evangelism area because I just know you guys could tell it, but I cannot tell you the amount of people the Lord can send you to if you ask Him and your Holy Spirit antennas are up and you're in love with the Father. He'll set it up to where you're not trying to talk to some, argue with some hardcore religion.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to somebody in the crisis of life. Some little lady he led us to and was a waitress, and she had written a note to end her life at night. How did I know? Mm-hmm. But the Lord directed us in there. And he said, give her one word. Dear, the Father has hope for you. And she just broke down. She goes, how do you know that? Do you know my mother? I said, I'm just telling you what Daddy told me. And she said, you have no idea what I'm going to do tonight. And she told us, and da-da-da-da-da. And the end of it was, she had, her mother had called her that day and said, a prophet came to our church, it was like a River Life Center somewhere in Florida, and gave her a word and said, be of good cheer, the daughter that you've been praying for who's lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's been desperate at the point when the spirit of death has been upon her, but I'm sending 4 men of God and I'm sending a prophet to give her a word, and she will come home to the Lord today.
Mm.
And we had no idea, nor did we really want to go into that place because they, you know, it was a real smoky place. But let me tell you what, when we got through, the 3 pastors that were having coffee with me that night after church, when that little girl gave her heart to the, to the Lord, I said, God, you have to forgive me. What if I didn't obey you tonight? And I went on to my hotel room. He said, I just wasn't going to let you. And it wasn't about you, John Mark. It was about your obedience. Well, let me tell you what. Holy Spirit had heard a mother's desperation to pull her daughter out of the pit that the enemy wanted to kill. And she tore up her letter in front of us and gave her heart to Jesus. Mm. And we had pastors fighting over what to do to help her.
Wow.
That's what I talk about. The language of love spoken through His voice is directing me to where somebody is ready. You don't have to. It's fun. It's life.
Right.
Wow.
And that's what it's all about, souls. You know, and you had an ear to hear, and you were obedient to. I get emotional about it because, I mean, that's Jesus, man.
It is.
You know?
And He's able to do that simultaneously. Think of this, 365 days a year in every globe with 6+ billion people. If we'll only hear and obey, this would already be done.
Hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was going to ask him how you could tell the difference between the soulish and the spirit. You know, a lot of people prophesy out of the soul and not out of the spirit. Mm-hmm. But he's answering it all. It's the relationship. You're getting so close to the Father that you can only hear His voice and His only and not override your own flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like anything. If you've ever been in sports or if you've ever done anything from, you know, good piano to professional, you know. It's like, this is a good way to answer that. I was in a meeting one day teaching a prophetic school, and the guy said, you know, I want to do this, like, pretty soon. And I said, well, good. I said, I feel called to be a brain surgeon this week. And I said, I really need a lab person. And I pulled out my butter knife from the kitchen in the church. And I said, can I start on you? I think I'm going to be pretty good at it. He said, oh, no. I said, well, you know, you may feel called and you may feel the anointing on something, but a little training is not going to hurt anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can start out with this thing and act like it's just, you know, it is the Holy Spirit and it is a relationship. But the longer you serve him, mature people find that it took some real experiences plus education plus Holy Spirit. And it, like you said in the apostolic, it takes the whole thing. And there is a discipline involved.
Yeah.
And that's hard on a lot of people to combine discipline with love.
Mm-hmm.
So the apostles will work on discipline a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophetic people, and especially those in the seer like you are, and the others, they're more artistic in love language and prophetic. And free prophets will talk for 4 hours trying to get to a restaurant, and it'll be closed, and we all get there. And the apostles are through eating and wondering why we didn't make it.
Oh, I love it.
And so if there's got to be a combination to get the thing functioned. But at the same time, you see what I'm saying? So there has to be a balance involved in this.
Amen.
So thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So that's why we have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. They're just coaches. But everybody gets to do it, so what I like.
Well, amen. I tell you, this has been fun, and we can go on for hours.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd like to direct the listeners to head on over to your site. And it's still...
Oh, yeah. It's okay. It's www.
Uh-huh.
Our website is www.wmin.org.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
W2WMN.org, and you can go there and get all the info you need.
Yeah, and I recommend that you pick up the book, Path of a Prophet. And I know that you're working on another one, too,
yeah.
And we're looking forward to that. So
I
keep it.
Woo,
come on now. So you got to look out for that
the
one.
Holy Spirit, almost soap opera in the Christian world.
Oh, come on. Oh, man. Sold, I got it. You got to understand this book, too, because it's understanding the journey of a prophet. And so be encouraged today. And John Mark, would you pray for those right now before we head off?
Lord, I thank you for those who are listening today. And I thank you for your Spirit directing even an archived broadcast into somebody's car or their atmosphere. And right now we pray, Holy Spirit, that you have spoken through your voices since you formed this earth. And I pray, God, that will resonate into their hearts right now and begin to encourage and edify and exhort them that this is about you. It's about your own self getting deeper with God. It's not about us being greater leaders or anything like that. It's about us releasing you with the heart of the Father to do the work of His ministry to increase His kingdom. And I pray that somebody today who hears this message from these wonderful people of God, both Alan and Fran, in this time to have this broadcast, will rededicate their heart to the pure, complete, intimate love and the pursuit of the Father's heart to do exactly what He tells you. And that destiny in your life then will certainly come to pass in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today on Upfront in the Prophetic. Until then, we'll see you next week at Upfront in the Prophetic. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.